If everybody's ready to give us your attention, please, we'll begin to try to get the questions out. There's several of the things that I've read are comments from you, so I'm going to have to select questions. Some of them are duplicate, so I'm going to do my best at trying to combine some of these questions together that you've asked. We're going to try to take 30 minutes, and each speaker will have a minute to answer the question. Some of you told me which speaker you want to address the question to, but the other speaker will have an opportunity, and I'll try to balance that as best I can. The first question, I'm combining two here. Is the church separate from the world? This is to Brother Rhodes. And what did the teaching of 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 mean to the women of the first century? The question, there's kind of a three-part question here, so let me make it, see if I can clarify. In other words, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, was that talking to women of the world in both passages or just to women in the church?
It was addressed to women in, at that time, at that church, in that culture.
In 1 Corinthians 14, it was addressed to the Corinthians already enough, and also look at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, with both theirs and ours. And so 1 Corinthians was written to the church at Corinth, and all Christians everywhere, according to chapter 1, verse 2. Just after Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, it's a shame for him to speak in the church, in 37, two verses later, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. This is a commandment of the Lord that the woman does not speak in the church. And then in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, where he tells the woman that the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man, notice the reason he gives. He doesn't give because that's the culture of the day. He says, the reason, verse 13, for Adam was first born, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. He goes back to the creation, not a culture thing.
I'm trying to use my mimic, your mind.
Go ahead.
I should like to debate with Gordon, if I can say
it. It is important that we understand something here, that there would be no Corinthian there if the Church of Corinth had no problems. Somebody from Chloe's house wrote Paul, or at least visited with Paul, got in touch with Paul some kind of way, and told Paul about his problem, and that letter was in a response to the problem they had at that church at that time. Period. Now, when you go to the first candidate about usurp and authority, now let's be honest. Are you suggesting that for a woman to stand up and sing and read the scripture, first you read to that seat to pass out the Lord's Supper, is you suffering authority over anybody?
No, sir. Okay, this is the second question we'll lead off with Brother Rhodes. It says, even if you're women in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, they were married and owned. Wasn't the God-given reason that they could not speak is because of what is taught in the B part of verse 35, or is it shameful for women to speak in the church?
It was a shame for women to speak in that church, in that assembly at that time. Period. I don't know how I can say any more than that. Period. I agree with that. At that time. Because of the problems they were having at that church, in that assembly. But if you try and make that some permanent solution to the question of women, then what are you going to do about women who have a Bible class, even if it's a woman's Bible class, and you say she can't speak in the church? They didn't say that about the men present, they said she can't speak in the church. And you all have women Bible class all the time. The women speak in the church. Now that at least let's be honest and not try to pretend that women don't speak in the Church of Christ. They do, I know.
Of course, I've already explained about the Bible places. Chapter 14, verse 23 says, if therefore the whole church become together in one place, when they're in separated Bible classes, that's not the case. And then at the 11 o'clock service, they come into one place, and that's when it would apply. The questioner made a good point. Whoever the your women of verse 34 and the first part of verse 35 is, whoever it is, the reason it's wrong for them, the reason they're to keep silence in the church, they're not to ask a question, he says, for it's a shame for women. That's women in general. Speak in the church. That gets all the women then and all the women now. The reason it was wrong for whoever he was talking about in 34 for them to speak is because he says it's a general thing. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. That's why it's wrong. Now, Floyd said it was only that church. Notice what verse 34 says. Let your women keep silence in the church is plural. That contradicts what it says.
Since I don't have the next question prepared, I'm going to ask this one instead. And this is just bad. Would you please explain when it says ask your husbands at home? Can you ask them anywhere besides at home? And is it only women who are husbands can ask them?
Compare this to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34. It says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home.
No, I'm going to object. She couldn't ask a question. She said, well, she couldn't ask a question. You let him ask a question. She said, the question had to be right.
Compare 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35, to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. The point there that Paul is making is that they should not eat this meal in the assembly. He's not saying the only place they could eat is a house, as if to exclude a restaurant or something like that. He's saying, don't eat this meal, common meal, in the assembly. Now, here's a place you can eat. He's not giving the only place. He's giving a typical place. And that's exactly what he's doing in 14, 34, and 35. He's saying, she should not speak in the assembly. If she has a question, she shouldn't ask it in the assembly. Now, one place she could ask that question is at home. It could be to her husband. It doesn't have to be the husband. That's just a typical place she can do it. He's saying, don't do it in the assembly. Now, here's somewhere where you can't ask the question. You can ask it to your husband. You can ask it at home. But that means you couldn't ask it in a restaurant. See what I'm saying? He's just giving a typical place outside the assembly. The thing he's saying is, don't do it in the assembly.
You're saying that women can't ask questions as long as they're in the church building, is that?
In the church assembly.
So if men,
when the whole church is coming together in one place.
If men.
No, not. They can ask questions about the Bible class.
If men, they can ask questions about the Bible class. But they're going to ask one in here. You said it's the Bible.
Some people might interpret this as the church assembly, so I'm not prepared. I would rather not. Some think of this as a time hill church of Christ assembly.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Some of these are just comments, so I don't really know what the question is. Maybe I can word it into a question. This one says, turning women to keep silence in the church. We live by the word and we shall die by the word. So I'm taking it the question is being asked, or the statement is being said, women are to keep silence in the church. Would you explain what the church and the silence applies?
Well, one of my charts, we looked at some definitions for the Greek word church. And basically, other translations have the assembly. And chapter 14, verse 23 explains it well when it says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place. So as I said, we're not talking about the Sunday school classes when the church is all in different places. At what we might call the preaching service, maybe at 11 o'clock, 10:30, or 10, they all come together in one place. That's when the woman cannot speak. Okay, she cannot address the assembly. So she couldn't preach the sermon. She could not stand up and address the assembly with a question. She couldn't do the Bible reading because she would be speaking out and addressing the assembly. That's what that means. Do I think that she could whisper to her little child? Yes, I think she could. She's not speaking to the assembly. She's not addressing the assembly.
I want to ask, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 14, women prophesied. Was that in the assembly? I don't know if that answer that would come up. I mentioned that because early on, when you say the women must keep silent in the churches, tell me what that means. Did they prophesy? How big were their heads covered? Now, they did. They talked. They spoke in the church. Or didn't they? They did or didn't they? If you say they did, then that goes. If you say they didn't, then 1 Corinthians says they prophesied. And Paul said, when you do it, women, do it with your head covered. So they did. With their heads covered. But they did.
Read verses in my speeches where it said Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied, right? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, Acts 2, verse 17. So women did prophesy, correct? When you prophesy, you speak. You're speaking the word of God. And 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 says don't do that in the church, right? So in 1 Corinthians 11, then that couldn't be the church assembly, could it? Because it says they did prophesy, yet they said they're not to speak in the church. So 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16 is not the assembly. Notice, verse 18, verse 17, now this I declare to you, that I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. But first of all, when you come together in the church. So we start talking about the assembly, the church assembly in verses 17 and 18. Verse 16 and before that is not the church assembly, else you'd have a contradiction in the Bible. Ready for the next question?
He was responding to you, but I guess
why don't you need to respond,
man?
Just take 1 minute.
I hope we can stay honest. How do you say that when you turn over a couple of chapters, say that was the assembly, but in the 11th chapter is not the assembly? What they do, go out and come back? I don't understand. Were they in the assembly or were they not in the assembly? If they said, where were they when they said, women, I want you to prophesy with your head covered? Were they at home? Why would he say that if they were at home? That's tough. They prayed. They prayed and prophesied. How big? If they had their heads covered, they did. They did. Women prayed. In the assembled church, they prophesied in the assembled church. They did it.
This question really is dealing with 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16, and the question is for Floyd. It says, please prove from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 16, that women prophesied in the local church assembly.
what was that, 1 Corinthians 11? Verse 13. Judging on yourself, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her head is given to her for the covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom. No, the churches of God. If there's a problem about it, then yes. Don't make it an issue. Paul never defined modesty, by the way. Culture defined modesty. And what was modest in that culture may or may not be modest now. What was immodest then may not be immodest now. I remember when I was a little boy at the church, women wore their dresses almost to their ankles. And if a woman came in church with her dress as up to her knee, she was asked to leave. But very quickly, I am still saying that that was the assembly. That was the assembly in 1 Corinthians.
Did God discriminate against women in Genesis 3:15?
Let's look first at the beginning. Now, when the fall came in the third chapter, it's different from the beginning. God, the Bible says, and God made humans. Male and female created he them, not him, but them, and gave them, not him, dominion over the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. He gave them dominion. He gave them power, not him. Now, when Eve disobeyed and ate of the tree that was forbidden to Adam and to her, then that's when sin into the world, and the fall became, the fall came. But when Jesus came, he came to undo the fall, to change things. And now in him, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. In whatever way there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, there is neither male nor female.
Floyd didn't answer the question, did God discriminate against women, when he said in Genesis 3:16, thy desire shall be thy husband, he shall rule over thee. The answer is, no, God did not discriminate against women. Just because he made the husband rule over the man, that's not discrimination. And Jesus did not come to change that, because we read, as we read in some of our speeches, Ephesians 5:22-24, the husband is the head of the wife. So let the wives be their own husbands in subjection in everything. Verse 24 of Ephesians 5. So that has not changed. Wives are still supposed to be in subjection to their husbands. It is not discrimination. it is not discrimination to say that a man, a woman is not to speak in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. Just like it's not discrimination against a homosexual to say that he needs to repent. That's not really discrimination. That's just because God said that's wrong and they need to repent.
I apologize. Let me make something clear. No, a woman is to be submissive to her own husband. My wife ain't submissive to you.
Question. Does that mean
God is discriminating? No, but the scriptures you referred to had to do with a man-wife relationship. That had nothing with the church. Nothing. No, man, I can't stand up here and say that your wife is supposed to be submissive. I'm the head of your wife. Well, you sure you're the head of mine?
Okay, this question is addressed to Pat. What can a woman do in the church? Can she teach other women?
The church can be used in different senses. When Jesus said, I will build the church, he meant what we normally call the church universal. That's the saved people all over the world. Then he talks about a local congregation. For example, in Acts 8, verse 4, the whole church was persecuted. It's not talking about the assembly of the church. It's just talking about that local church, the people of that local church, but not necessarily in the assembly. And then you can talk about the assembly. We're opposed to the woman speaking in the assembly. But can she do work in the church? Well, she can't teach in the assembly, but as part of the church work, she can certainly teach. And I've already said that, like the Bible classes that are sponsored by the church, that's doing work in the church. She teaches women and children. We see that in Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. It says, the aged women, skipping a few phrases, it says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and so forth. So the women can teach as a work of the church in the church, but not in the church assembly.
So, trying to make some sense out of this. So, on one hand, we say that women ought to keep silent, but they can teach the Bible. But then you make a distinction between the church assembled and the Bible class, and the church assembled at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. The people are the same. The same house. Same building. Let's look at that. You're talking about the same people. If you take these people and go back there with them, and only women go back there, and a woman teaches, she's teaching. She's not being silent. As you say, she has to be silent. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, that means in the church, the assembled church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, but it does not mean the assembled church on Wednesday night.
Okay, this question is addressed to Brother Rose. It says, does it 1 Corinthians 4:17 teach that Paul offered these things everywhere in the church?
I'm not quite familiar with that, but my sense of what you're getting at is this. And I'm saying that Paul said one thing to the Corinthian church and another thing to another congregation. There were times when, in fact, the disciples said one thing in one place and something totally different and another. What do I mean by that? If there was a problem at one church that they did not have at another church, the man didn't say the same thing to both churches because it would not make sense. You respond based on what the problem is. The answer is based on the question. The solution is based on the problem. If we don't have that problem, we don't need that solution. That's simple to me.
questioner makes a very good point. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And the things that he was teaching to this church at Corinth, he says, I teach the same thing to every church, which contradicts what Floyd just said and what he said in his other speeches, that this was just a problem at that one church. Paul said, I taught this to all the churches. And that would include what he said in 34 and 35 of chapter 14. Remember what I said about 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2? He wrote this book to that church, to the saints that are in every place called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. That's who it's to. Chapter 14, verse 37, just two verses after 34 and 35, he says this is a commandment of the Lord. So it's obviously not one thing for just one particular place. It's a commandment of the Lord. Remember, Jesus said before he left the earth in John 16, 13, he would guide the apostles into all the truth. That's all we're talking about here. Now, this thing about this just being a problem in this church, if that were so, and it only applied to that one church, why did Paul write the same thing in a totally different place and context? Not exactly the same thing, but it would forbid women preaching in the church in 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It says, not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That didn't have anything to do with Corinth. He wrote the same thing, he taught the same thing everywhere.
I want to read from 1 Corinthians 11, and it goes back. And I'd like to, for somebody to say to me, this doesn't mean this thing. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonored her head. For that is even all one. For that is even all one, as if she were shaved. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But it is a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. I just read it.
Okay, you want anyway. 1 minute.
Thank you very much. My statement is this. If Paul here gave instructions to women about praying and prophesying or teaching in the presence of men with their heads covered, then when you go over to Timothy and he says, I suffer not a woman to teach not to use of authority. And how do you deal with her? How do you deal with her? My point remains the same. You can't take a solution to a problem in one place and make it a general solution for all the churches. You're going to have problems.
I'm going to take a minute here, but let's keep in mind, my brother Floyd, that when the question was for you, you responded and I had one that responded. You weren't necessarily supposed to get the last say on every question. It's supposed to be taking turns. You're getting 2 minutes for every 1 minute of mine. You can do that. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16, it says that a woman did prophesy. I have no problem with saying it was in the presence of men, but why does that not contradict chapter 14, 34, and 35, where it says the woman is not to speak in the church? There's one simple, easy way to understand it. If I tell my child not to speak in McDonald's, it doesn't mean my child can't speak at home. So when the woman is prophesying in 1 Corinthians 11, Acts 21, verse 9, Acts 2, 17, the simple solution is she's not prophesying in the church assembly. Paul begins talking about the church assembly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, about verse 17. The first part of the chapter, he's just talking about women praying or prophesying. She needs to be covered wherever she prays or prophesies. She prays in the church assembly. When men leave, she's silently praying the same prayer. Okay? But when she prophesied, it was always outside the church assembly, because you have to speak up to do that. And whenever she prayed or whenever she prophesied, church assembly or not, she was to cover her head. She did not prophesy in the church assembly. That would contradict chapter 14, 34, and 35.
Time for summary statements.
Time for the summary statements. Okay, I'll
be back on the first. I'll give you a little minute if I can respond to this.
What's up, y'all?
On one hand, he said, if you listen, whether the church is assembled or not. Y'all hear that? Whether the church is assembled or not. She prophesied, whether the church is assembled or not. So if the church assembled and she prophesied, then she prophesied in the presence of men.
First of all, that last question, what I said was, she prayed in the assembly, but she never prophesied in the assembly. She prays silently when the man leaves. Okay. One of the things that's affected at least the people that Floyd does and it's in his book is this parable about the 80 blacks and the 20 whites in the congregation. Let's extend that parable a little bit. Suppose you had a family with a husband, and he has a wife, and he has 9 daughters, and they're, let's say, for some reason, they're all pretty much, you know, between the ages of 14 and 18, a lot of twins and things, but there's 8 daughters. There's 9 ladies in that family, young ladies who are maturing and a wife. And all of them are capable of leading the family. That's what I'm saying. All 9 of these women are. But the man leads the family. In that parallel, he would think that the man should lead the family even though there were 9 capable ladies there. Now let's extend his parable about the 80 blacks and the 20 whites. And him's talking about how the whites led everything, which was wrong, and he's saying it's the same with the women. Let's extend it to homosexuality. Suppose there happened to be a congregation, and I admit this would be pretty rare, that there were 20 straight faithful Christians, and they were straight as far as their sexual preference. But there are 80 homosexuals that like to visit that church. And suppose you're a part of that church. Are you going to say, well, there's 80 homosexuals, therefore we need to allow them to preach and lead in the services? Because they're qualified. They can speak. They know a lot about the Bible. Matter of fact, I've debated a gay preacher before. He knew a lot about the Bible, he thought. No, what you would do is you'd say, just the faithful Christians should speak, and the 80 homosexuals, they're welcome to attend, and we hope they'll change one day and repent of their sins. Now, here's the reason you did that. You did that, you only let the faithful members speak and preach and things like that because the Bible taught that. You see what I'm saying? Now, let's go back to the women thing and the blacks. The Bible never taught that in a situation with 80 blacks and 20 whites, that only the whites should be the leaders. That's wrong. The Bible never taught that. But when you have a case of a congregation with women and men, the Bible is the one that says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man that could be in silence. Just like the Bible said that homosexuality is wrong and we can't allow them to be leaders in the church until they repent, the Bible says, though it's not a sin to be a woman, it's not parallel in that respect, but it is parallel in the fact that the Bible says the man is to be the leader. I didn't write this. God did. This is not parallel to the black and white situation because God never said the blacks cannot be leaders. The Mormon church may have said that one time, but the Bible never said it. But the Bible says the women are to be the leaders in the church. They're not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Therefore, it's really just a question of whether or not you love God. That, it all boils down to that, and every issue really does. You can love society, and you can love how you feel, and your feelings about whether or not a situation is right or wrong, and I'm trying to describe how what Floyd said, he could just feel that this was wrong. He loves that more than he loves God. Because if he loves God, he would say, I don't care how I feel about it, what I think about it, this is what God says, this is what I'm going to do. It's all a question of whether or not you love God. Now put up chart number 2. Let me ask you, the main part of the issue tonight is, can a woman preach in the church? Number 2, you don't have to have the chart up because all you have to do is turn to 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Let's read that together. How much time do I have here? Now, the question is, now Floyd and I believe the Bible is inspired and it's right. No matter how Floyd feels about it, no matter how women feel about it, no matter how I feel about it, as I said, if I were writing the Bible, I wouldn't put this in here. But the Bible said, God said, and after all, he's the one that tells us what we have to do in practicing religion, right? It's his religion. He has a right to tell us, Jesus Lord, why call you me Lord, Lord, if you're not the things that I say? Well, here's what the Lord taught. Remember in verse 37, Paul said, the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And here's the commandment. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shame for women to speak in the church. Paul said that's the commandment of the Lord. Do we love the Lord? The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 9, that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Are you willing to obey this verse? You can't have eternal salvation unless you are. And I put up the next chart. So I remind you of my choice, Floyd, myself, and God. The question is, in the little boxes down here, it says, the first box is, do you believe it's a shame for women to speak in the church? Check that box. That's the one I would check. I think we all know that. The next one is, check, do you believe it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? I believe Floyd would check that box, don't you, from what he said tonight? I think he would. I would check this box. He would check that box. Now I ask you, which box would God choose? Read 34 and 35 and tell me, which box would God choose? Thank you very much. We are friends. We appreciate it for doing it. We appreciate Floyd for being willing to defend what he believes.
I want to share something with you tonight in my final presentation. It's not important that you remember what I've said tonight. It's only important what you think about it. Because it's what you think about it that determines what you do about it. It's only what you do about anything that really matters. Once you leave and the charts are gone, and you go home in the privacy of your own heart, and you have to be honest with you, you'll see that something ain't quite right. Let me close with this. My oldest son and I were watching the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics in the playoffs, the National Basketball Association. And we were both there watching. I favored the Lakers. I liked Magic Johnson, his fancy passing. I had great respect for the skyhook of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he liked Boston, the Jones brothers. And that white boy that plays ball. He was good. He could jump too anyway. So we were looking at it, and when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would throw that sky hook out of Harlem. Kill him! And he said then, look, and then when the Larry Bird set shot specialist, Larry Bird, would hit a free point, he'd jump up and holler and say, sit down and shut up all that noise. I'm the dad. So I noticed something about 11:10. He got up and walked out of the room. And when he came back, his whole demeanor had changed. He was just as cool and calm. And I was still biting my tongue. Biting my fingernails. And all of a sudden, I discovered something. He knew something that I didn't know. That was a tape delayed broadcast. He had gone into the other room, turned on the television, and he knew Boston had already won the game. So he wasn't excited. I know how this is going to come out. I've already seen the last score. I know how this is going to turn out. I've read the last chapter in this book. I've watched the last act in this book. I know how this is going to come out. You can put up your charts, but women and churches of Christ are on their way to the freedom land And you are not going to be able to put that genie freedom back into that box. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. However difficult you try to make it, it's just not going to happen. Now, my final, how much time I got?
Minute and a half.
My final thing is this. I believe that the one principle that should govern all of our lives is the one laid out not by Paul, not by Peter, not by Titus, not by Timothy, but by Jesus Christ. Listen to him in Matthew 7. Do unto others as you would that others do unto you. That's all I want to do. I want never to discriminate against a woman, never deny her an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given her solely because she's a woman, something for which she's not responsible. I've been hurt too much. I've been discriminated against too often because of my race, something that I'm not responsible. And I am never, again, going to discriminate against women because of their gender, something for which they are not responsible. I don't see that as an option for me. It is morally and ethically wrong. That's Floyd Rose. Now, finally, I will say this to you. The winds change path of blowing. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Those of you, Pat, those of you who will be available now, next Friday night, at the Oak Grove Church of Christ in Jennings, Florida.
Appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to seeing you.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to
seeing you. Yeah, I did the best I could.
I'm sorry.
I am famous. And I am as confident a human being.